Time is 9 a.m. Stay tuned for the coffee table coming up next. Support comes from Pier 1 Theater, Homer's community theater supporting community voices. Schedules and information on Pier 1 Productions at 226-2287 and at pier1theater.org. Good morning. The time is 9:03 a.m. and welcome to the Coffee Table Pride Edition. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Let's check in on our panel. Jerena Reed, representing Homer Pride. How's your mic sound? Get really close to that mic. Bring it right up next to you. It'll move right towards you.
Good morning. There you go.
Good morning to you, and thanks for being here. Let's check in on everybody. How about Audrey?
Hi.
Gifford? Oh, good. So good to hear you.
And good morning.
Good morning to you. And what about Irene Saxton from Sea Sparrow Counseling? Irene, are you there?
Hey, Kathleen. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. The first thing I want to do is welcome everyone and thank them for coming out. And I mean that on every level. So thanks for coming out for Coffee Table. And I want to give everybody an opportunity to introduce themselves. Oh, I think I see that Winter Marshall Allen is on. Winter, are you there?
I'm here. I made it.
Good morning. So I'm going to start with Jerena Reed, and then we'll just go through everybody. And if you would just introduce yourself the way you would like to be introduced. So Jerena, will you start?
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jerena, and I live here in Homer. I am one of the members of the Homer Pride Planning Committee, and I'm super excited to be here today.
Thanks so much. What about Winter Marshall Allen, also from Homer Pride's organizing team?
Hi, my name is Winter Marshall Allen, and I use she, her pronouns. And I would like to recognize that Homer sits on the Dena'ina lands of the Alutiiq and Supiaq people.
Thanks so much for the land acknowledgement. Next is Audrey Gifford. Good morning.
Yep.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I am Audrey. I use she, her pronouns as well. And I am one of the co-organizers for Soldotna Pride in the Park.
Oh, thanks. I can't wait to hear about it. We're going to be devoting a whole segment of time just to what's happening in Soldotna. And Irene Saxton, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. My name is Irene, and I use she, her pronouns. And I am a co-owner of a counseling clinic here in town called Sea Sparrow Counseling and Wellness. And we work with LGBTQ individuals and non as well.
Thanks so much. I want to make sure everybody knows that there is an operator standing by. We want to, over the course of this hour, hear from anybody who has Pride events going on over the course of this month or next, or who just wants to join the conversation. If you have any questions or comments, you can email to info@kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. So the first thing I want to talk about is why we celebrate Pride and the importance of visibility. And I know that I want everyone to be able to weigh in on that who wants to, but I want to start with Winter Marshall Allen, because I know you're on short time. We've only got you for half an hour. So let's start with you. And why are you involved in organizing, and what is the importance of visibility, and why do we celebrate?
So as a 15-year public education teacher, the importance of visibility is making sure that every student is seen. And in the community, that's making sure that everybody has place and space. Pride, awareness, advocacy, opportunities for involvement, recognizing the intersectionality is pivotal so that identities can be recognized, people can feel safe, and those who identify with all of the different spectrums in the LGBTQ categories can feel like their community acknowledges who they are without having to explain who they are.
How about you, Jarena? Would you like to address that?
Yeah, I think Winter has some really great points in there. The thing that came to me in thinking about visibility is how it creates an opportunity for conversations, moments in awareness that can lead to tolerance and acceptance. And as a parent, that was one of the things that's really important to me to teach my children to recognize all the many differences in cultures, ideals, and spirituality, and be able to braid that into the beautiful woven pattern that we all make together as humanity.
Thanks. That's Jarena Reed from Homer Pride. What about Audrey Gifford up in Soldotna? Can you talk a little bit about why you got involved in organizing in Soldotna?
Yeah, so we had nothing in our community about 4 years ago, and I was working at a suicide prevention program and looking at the rates of suicide among the LGBTQ population, and the rates are very concerning. So that's what led me to start Pride. And then I also want to just kind of note that the reason that we do Pride is because of the Stonewall riots in 1969, and it's to commemorate progress and still the work that has yet to be done for our LGBT community.
Thanks, Audrey. And Irene, do you want to add anything to that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, echoing what everybody else has said, being visible in your community and your world is incredibly important. And Pride is just that one part of the year that everybody is able to recognize that. You know, growing up as a queer individual in a small town in Alaska where I didn't even know that what I was or who I was or who I was loving or attracted to was an okay thing. Being able to show youth in Homer and Alaska and the world that who you love is okay and who you are inside, if it doesn't match who you are inside, and who you are inside doesn't match who you are outside. You know, all of that is important to recognize and have that visibility. So
Thanks so much.
Pride is very important.
That's Irene Saxton here in Homer. And I want to double down on what Audrey was talking about. You know, Pride was the first Pride, was a Stonewall riot because people couldn't gather in a bar not bothering anybody without the police busting up their bar and arresting people and assaulting them. And so I do want to talk about the fact that LGBTQ plus queer people in Alaska are not a protected class by the state. They are not included in civil rights protections. And so you can fire or kick someone out of their home for being gay or lesbian, and Alaska maintains as a state that that is not discrimination. So I'm wondering if anyone in this group, speak out, I probably won't be able to call on you directly, is working in terms of working with the legislature or developing relationships with state legislators to see if it's possible to add LGBTQ plus people to the list of protected people in the class for civil rights.
I'm not for sure of a specific a bill in Juneau that's being presented, but I know that the Equity Act, that there's been a huge push, and for Senator Markowski and Senator Sullivan to pass that within the Senate when it actually comes to the floor. There has been a huge push across the nation for that to be pushed, but our senators are definitely pivotal, being that they're Republican senators and they can be very conservative, and that Alaska doesn't have those protections written within its constitution. Coming even circling back to that and those protections and the basis of the Stonewall riots, were so pivotal in the fact that they not only were they LGBTQ trans men and women who were trying to exercise their freedoms in partaking in that bar and in that environment and having a safe space and still being attacked by the police, but you're also talking about the BIPOC population and that intersectionality.
And what do you mean? What do you mean when you say that? What is BIPOC? Did you say?
So BIPOC, Black Indigenous People of Color. Thank you for calling me out and not using an acronym. And we need to. We all, so the Pride community
And the intersectionality there is not just Eurocentric, and it's not just a white community who participates in Pride events. It is a Black and brown and rainbow community that participates in Pride events. And it is a multitude of protections that need to be afforded to everyone who identifies, who needs those citizen protections. And this even goes into like ableism aspects and so many other layers of citizen protections that aren't afforded to other aspects of human rights when we talk about social oppression and whether or not you fall into the social norm and how that has been defined from a very Western Eurocentric lens.
So Winter, we are going to talk about the merging of Juneteenth and Homer Pride coming up, but I want to skip right now to Audrey Gifford, because Audrey, Soldotna Pride is this week.
Yeah, so on Friday the 11th at 12 p.m., Three Peaks Mercantile is holding a Pride lunch. So you can check out their Facebook page. That's kind of like a pre-event. And then Saturday on the 12th, we're meeting at Soldotna Sports Center at noon and doing our Pride Walk to Soldotna Creek Park. And then this week, Everything Bagels is also doing Pride Rainbow Bagels. So you can swing by there and show your support.
I'm going to ask you again, because you have some really interesting things to say about the organization Finding Our Roots.
Choosing
our roots. Thank you. We're going to come back to that. Can you stay on the line for a little while and talk about that in a few minutes?
I can.
Great. That is Audrey Gifford, organizer for Soldotna Pride. Next, I'd like to bring in Jarena and Winter to talk about the Homer Pride events that are coming up. I know that Juneteenth, so I'm going to start with Winter, and can you talk about why and how you are putting together a cooperative event to celebrate both Juneteenth and Pride?
So as the owner and operator of the Homer Organization for More Equitable Relations, last year we organized a separate Juneteenth event. It was awesome, but it was small and it was really hard. It was five of us who organized. I put out feelers this year trying to organize. With COVID, it has been taxing for everyone and been very difficult to do and get things together. Homer Pride is organizing. There was the conversation and talk about putting the two events together and recognizing the intersectionality of the Stonewall riots and of the lack of recognizing when actual slaves were freed and how the two dialogues actually overlap. The freedoms that one social population has and the freedoms that another social population have are still not the same, which is the inequity that we are trying to rail against and trying to re-educate our society so that we can all have a more accepting and inclusive experience. And so we have organized a collective Homer Pride Juneteenth event where we are going to meet at the HERC. And I don't want to steal any of the planning or process, but we're going to meet at the HERC at 10, and then we'll start our walk at 11, and then we will walk over to WFLK Park. And we are still trying to organize some artists to play in the park and looking for some local Zumba instructors who might be interested in helping to lead some Zumba in the park. Just ways for the community to be connected and interact. There will also be some local foundations that provide services to our LGBTQ community with some tables set up.
Oh, thanks, Winter. And I want to make sure to include Jarena in this. Jarena, is this your first Homer Pride, or have you been at this for a while?
I guess because we didn't do one last year, so I was definitely one of the organizers for the 2019, and I participated not as an organizer, but just as a volunteer in the 2018 as well. But the moment I had seen an article in the news about grant funding being provided to Homer Pride, it was the first winter I had moved here, and I was like, yes, I'm getting involved. That is what I'm doing. That is the purpose of my being. So I am very grateful to be a part of such a beautiful community that allows us to make space so that everyone can feel safe.
And can you talk a little bit about that grant funding, where it came from, how much it is? Do you know? Or is that something that Winter might know better?
I don't know if you are familiar with that, Winter.
I don't have those numbers, actually.
So in 2019, we did get a grant through Identity.
I do want to know if you have anything to add about things that are going on in Homer. I do know that apart from the Juneteenth Homer Pride, that's June 19th.
Correct.
On the 27th, that Tony Stanfill and Jeremy Youngblood are planning a beach barbecue party on Bishop's Beach, and that it's a pride celebration. I think they're still working on their agreement with the city. Look for that as well, because it's not pride without a beach party. Come on. Is there anything we're missing?
I do not have anything else on my list at this time.
I have a recorded interview from yesterday with Tony Bucklon, who is Seward Pride Alliance. I'm going to play that, but I want to make sure, let's skip ahead, because we can come back to that. I know we're going to lose Winter in just a couple of minutes. So before we talk about what's happening in Seward next month, Winter, before you go, I'm going to bring everybody in on this conversation, so be ready and unmute yourself at the appropriate moment. Showing up for each other all across the peninsula is a great way to build connections. So how do LGBTQ plus queer people on the peninsula keep in contact, provide support to each other all year round when there isn't a parade or a beach party planned? I was wondering if, Winter, before you go, if you can talk a little bit about how to connect with Homer Pride and about how it functions all year round.
So Homer Pride does meet quarterly, I believe, and it might be more frequently than that. And then, for that matter, there's our page. Let me start a little bit more basic than that, instead of going to the meeting. So social media page is the best place to go and get like current events, any Google Doc that has been posted that Sochi has created to inform us on a call to action or a local organizing event or a social interaction that might be available within the community. And then my other plug would be, is how are we connecting all of our groups on the peninsula so that we are all interconnected? And I think that's by sharing each other's events, sharing the Soldotna events and sharing the Seward events.
Okay, well, Winter, is there anything else you want to say before you log off?
Thank you so much, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share. I hope that everybody comes out and supports all of the Pride events, the beach event, the Seward event, the Soldotna event, the Juneteenth Homer Pride event from the HERC to the WFLK Park. All awareness is good awareness. All conversation is good conversation, as long as you walk away from it thinking a little bit differently than you did to begin with.
Thanks, Winter, and stay on as long as you like and jump in, but I'm going to focus on other people now because I know that it's about time for you to get back to whatever you've got going on today.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, so the next thing I want to do is open this discussion up to, first I'm going to start with Irene Saxton, and then I'm going to ask Audrey and then Jarena. Irene, you have some resources that you know about, that you work with, that for keeping people connected all year round when there's not a Pride celebration happening. Can you talk a little bit about year-round resources and ways to connect?
Sure, Kathleen. Like Winter said, social media and online platforms is a really big way for people to stay connected in Alaska. There's quite a few groups on Facebook. Queer Happenings Alaska is a big one that people connect on. People can find housing that's supportive and safe all over Alaska. I've seen people posting, hey, I'm going to come visit Alaska. Which towns would you suggest I visit? Which towns are safe? Which towns should I avoid? Things like that. Because as queer individuals, when you're traveling, that is something that we have to think about. But let's see what else. Identity is a nonprofit out of Anchorage, and they have quite a few online support groups as well that people can stay connected with. There's a youth one on Thursdays, I believe, and it's all over Zoom, so anybody across Alaska can join, meet other queer individuals, and just kind of talk about what's going on in their lives. There's also one called Sage Coffee and Conversation, Thursday mornings. LGBTQ individuals, you can sit down and meet more people in the community. And Generation Q is the youth one that Identity has. But with COVID, it's been a little tricky to stay connected. I feel that having these online platforms has definitely been able to help connect individuals. But I feel that with COVID and needing to stay separate, it has been a little tough to stay connected.
Thanks, Irene. And would you mind, that's Irene Saxton, would you mind emailing me that list so that I can include it when I post this coffee table recording to our website?
Sure. Yeah, I could do that.
Thanks so much. How about you, Audrey? I know we're going to talk a little bit more about choosing our roots in a few minutes, but I do want to know, how do you and the people of Soldotna stay connected year round?
At the KPC, during the academic school year, there's an alliance group that meets monthly. Right now, that's being held virtually. I'm not sure what this next school year will look like, but there is a Facebook group for that that you can join. And then Choosing Our Roots also has Friday Night Chats, which is a multi-generational open virtual space where people can get together and share experiences and what's happening with their lives and ask questions. And that's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And you can like Choosing Our Roots Facebook page and get more information about that.
Thanks. Thanks so much. That's Audrey Gifford, organizer for Soldotna Pride. Jarena, what do you think? Is there anything on your list that you feel like that we've left out that for resources for people?
Yeah, I definitely might have missed a mention of the rec room for here for local youth, in that they provide support groups there to have open conversations via Zoom. And I had heard too that the center used to have an adult support group for their patients there, if anybody needed to know that was available. And going back to the conversation about how we keep in contact over the year, and there's a statewide forum where other Pride planning groups talk to trying to discuss what is coming up in their area so that we can all keep apprised to be able to look at Alaska as a whole and how to be inclusive in Pride events.
Well, thanks so much. That is Jarena Reed from Homer Pride. Also, everybody on the panel, thank you. Jarena Reed from Homer Pride. There's Audrey Gifford from Soldotna Pride, Winter Marshall Allen from Homer Pride, and Irene Saxton from Sea Sparrow Counseling. But all these panelists get to take a well-deserved breather for a few minutes, because I'm going to be turning the faders down, and you're going to hear from Tony Baclon from Seward, because the Seward Pride Alliance has a lot of things planned. They celebrate Pride in July, and you're going to hear from Tony, and then we'll have a brief dance break. Mm-hmm. So this is the Pride edition of Coffee Table.
My name is Anthony Baclon, and I am the vice president of the Seward Pride Alliance. We've been in existence since 2018.
You have events planned and things going on through July, all kinds of fun things happening.
At the end of July, we have our Pride celebration. We have moved it back to July just to get a little more time for everyone to be more comfortable, because we really felt that we really wanted to have in-person events. So our Pride weekend will be running from July 30th, 31st, and August 1st, and we will have events on all 3 days. We usually have a welcome bonfire. We also have a cruise on the Kenai Fjords Tours boat with a DJ. And that's really fun because we do like Beyonce, and then there's like an orca. And then it's like Beyonce, and like an eagle. So it's really fun.
You're making me homesick for Key West.
It is super fun. And at our inaugural sailing, we had an amazing time. It is a family-friendly event. We had one family on board, and then we had some people from Anchorage, from the peninsula, and we were dancing, and it was just a great time. We also will have a dance party night with a DJ at the Seward Ale House. And we also do a lip sync battle this year that will be hosted by Golden Delicious. And then on Sunday, we are having our Pride barbecue with a morning service by the Lutheran and Methodist Church here in Seward. We'll have games and food that is sponsored by the Windsong Lodge here in Seward. We also will have a guided hike by rangers at Exit Glacier and more events if we can squeeze them into the time that we have.
And so that was the last 2 days in July and the first day in August, did you say?
Yes.
Well, that sounds marvelous. Anybody from Seward planning on going down to Soldotna or coming to Homer?
A part of our mission is to attend at least some events around the peninsula. You know, in summertime, everybody's working and trying to make money while the sun's out. So we try to get out. Hopefully somebody from Seward can get over there to represent us on the other side of the peninsula.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted everybody to weigh in on the coffee table, is just to have people down here in Homer think that they could show up for people in Soldotna and they could come to Seward. One of the other topics of conversation is resources for LGBTQ or queer youth. Are there any groups or clubs or organizations that you know of in Seward?
We in Seward, unfortunately, do not have a youth program, but as the Seward Pride Alliance, we try to be there as much as possible for the adults and the children in the community that need to find resources. We've been very lucky to have a partnership and a working relationship with Choosing Our Roots. We have a couple students who have been able to benefit from their COVID relief funds and help them get some of the things that they needed for school and just kind of have some connections to join core programs. We also partner with a lot of other nonprofits to help youth out in many different areas that we can.
Audrey was telling me about that, Choosing Our Roots.
And they have done amazing things for some of the kids that we have here and really have been trying very hard to offer their resources and get more host homes here in Seward.
I don't want to make light of it, but I do want to know, can you assess the situation in terms of houselessness and homelessness for kids in Seward?
There is a need here in Seward for children who are houseless. We have a very, very close and very, very tight community here, and we all look out for each other. A lot of families will take in queer youth who are houseless or who are couch surfing, and we know that there is a need here in Seward, which is why we were working with Julia and other people from Choosing Our Roots to try and get more people involved in the host home program. You know, there's a large presence of allies as well as queer older adults. We always host a yearly alphabet soup where we have a panel discussion with all the letters of the alphabet. And people are open and able to ask questions in a safe place where we assume no harm and we can talk about how we can feel more comfortable addressing each other and issues in our community.
Alphabet soup, did you say?
Yes. And that will be actually in a couple weeks. If you check our Facebook page, I believe, I want to say it's June 10th or 12th.
Oh, I will look for that. You are the Seward Pride Alliance, to be found on Facebook. Is that the easiest way for people to find you?
Yes. You know, here in Seward, our Pride this year is going to be really focused on fundraising for a rainbow crosswalk. Just recently, application process has been put out to get a rainbow crosswalk. And
where would that be? Where in Seward would you want it?
We are talking about different locations right now in the application process. Any crosswalk on city streets are available. So we just have to make our application and fill out our process.
City things move slowly, don't they? Will you be able
exactly.
to do it this summer?
This was actually about a year and a half long process. It began a while ago, bringing the idea to city council. And now we're making headway with the application process coming out. So we're very excited to start fundraising. We will unfortunately not be able to have it up this summer. With all the snow plowing, you know, it does take a toll on the crosswalk. So we don't want to put it up this late. It's a pretty hefty fee, application fee and process to get it up. So we want to do it right and do it next year and have a bright, beautiful crosswalk for everyone to see next year.
Does the Seward Pride Alliance stay in contact with state legislators, communicate by emails and that sort of thing, or go to Juneau? Do they do any political stuff?
I am the vice president of the Seward Pride Alliance, as well as the vice mayor of Seward. Reading the proclamation from the president this year really kind of inspired me, and I think a lot of others in our group. You know, we need LGBTQ plus representation in all facets of government. And I have been to Juneau and to the AML conferences in Anchorage. So I'm looking forward to representing Seward and representing our community out in those places, meeting all the people around and kind of forming a better alliance of more politically involved LGBTQ plus people.
You're the vice mayor of Seward?
Yes.
How long into your term are you?
I am a year and a half in a 3-year term.
Well, all right. I look forward to hearing more.
Thank you so much.